it's certainly good to be here tonight. To be at Bethel. I've been looking forward to this ever since Derek called me a while back and asked me about coming. And I always look forward to being at Bethel. A lot of good memories of years ago and coming to Bethel. And our children were small and little and bouncing around. But they're not, well, they're not, they're bouncing around now, but they're not around us bouncing. And that's the way life goes. But we are certainly glad to be with you tonight. And it's good to be with Derek. As Derek said, he was in Rogers Ford. I moved to Anderson. And I didn't much more get there, and he took off. And he said the place wasn't big enough for both of us. I guess he knew I was going to get bigger as I got there, and so that would be a problem. But anyway, it was good to spend short time with him and then to be able to have that connection through the years. And then he sent his son back to Anderson to be with us before we left Anderson. And so that was good that we were able to keep that relationship through the years, even, of course, over the distance of miles. It's good to look out in the audience tonight and see people from Market Street. You don't know what that means when you don't have to listen to you and you come here anyway. That's really makes you feel good. But it's good to see several that are here from Market Street tonight. And it's always good to have you with us, and especially my lovely bride of 31 years is with us tonight, too. And I'm always glad when she's able to go with me. If you have Bibles in life, I'd like for you to take them and turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 is where we'll look this evening as we begin to our lesson together this evening. 1 Peter chapter 3, Peter is writing, and he's writing to these Christians, and he's talking to them about sanctifying the Lord and being ready to give answer always. Then he gives them this example of those who were sometime disobedient. Verse 20, he says, who were a long time waiting in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein a few, that is, and eight souls were saved by water. Verse 21, he says, in the like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I think about this, and I think, you know, we're talking about a subject here in verse 21 that Peter just pretty well spells out. He says there's something that Noah was saved by. He was saved in verse 20 by water. And then it says, wherein figure is baptism, that's a like figure in that we are now saved by baptism. Baptism doth also now save us. And I say it's interesting because when you go out in the religious world and you have conversations with people, as you probably do on occasion, you'll talk to someone, and or you may listen to the radio, or you may be listening to someone preach on the TV, and they will talk about salvation, and they'll be talking about the soul's salvation, and one receiving Christ and receiving salvation. And oftentimes they will talk about different things regarding their salvation. One of the things that they will mention, they'll talk about someone's need to believe, and that they'll need to believe on the Lord. Hey, you know, the Bible does talk about that in John 3 and verse 16. Whosoever believeth in Jesus Christ will not perish, but have everlasting life. And then you'll have other people that will even talk about that there needs to be a change of life. And they'll talk about repentance, and they'll talk about the need and somebody turning their life around and turning to God. And you'll hear preachers in the world talk about that. And, you know, the Bible does talk about that. Luke chapter 13 and verse 3, Jesus said, except you repent, you'll all likewise perish. And the times of this ignorance, Paul said in Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, times of the ignorance, God winked at. But now he commandeth all men everywhere to repent. So we would say, yeah, that needs to be talked about. That's right. And then you'll hear people maybe even talk about confession. They'll say, you know, you need to make that confession. You need to confess the Lord. And with the mouth, confession is made into salvation, Romans chapter 10. Verses 9 and 10. And so we all say, yeah, that's right. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, Jesus said, him who will not confess me before men, him will I not confess before my Father, which is in heaven. Yeah, we need to make that confession. But now, the question we have is, when you listen to so much of what you hear, that's what you're going to hear. But what you're not going to hear is what I just read in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. That baptism doth also now save us. somehow that seems to be just kind of forgotten. It kind of is pushed aside. It's pushed away. Like you don't even think baptism is anything that is even considered in the life of a person. And really, as the religious world thinks about it, as the religious world looks at it, baptism is not something in the general sense in the religious world that they would say is necessary for salvation. They would discount that. And many times what they're going to do is they're going to make statements like this, that baptism is an outward sign of an inward grace. You've already seen that. You're being baptized in order to join the church. That's a different thing. That's after you're saved. But you're saved apart from baptism. Baptism has absolutely nothing to do with your being saved. This evening, I want us to talk about that. I want us to look at this topic. I want us to look at that topic of baptism. And the statement that is made here, is this correct? And I'm going to say, yes, it is, right up front. This statement that Peter makes is correct about baptism. Baptism saves us. Now, I will say at the beginning, too, that I believe that faith is just as necessary in our salvation, that repentance is just as necessary in our salvation, confession is just as necessary in our salvation, living faithful is just as necessary in our salvation. But also in there, baptism is part of that the Bible teaches is necessary for our salvation. So this evening, let's think about this idea of baptism and think about what the Bible teaches about baptism. The first thing I want to notice with you about this, and that is that baptism is an act of faith. An act of faith. If you have your Bibles, take them and turn with me to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. And notice with me what Paul says when he's writing to the Colossians, the church at Colossae. In verse 12, this is what he says. He said, buried with him in baptism, wherein you're also risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. Now, I want to just notice what he said. He said, you're buried with him in baptism through also him who has risen him from the dead. And you're risen with him, what? Through the faith of the operation of God. You know, the problem that we have with baptism is that we don't want to see that as an act of faith. But that's exactly what Paul says to the Colossians about this. It's a faith in God and the operation that God is forming. Now, somebody says, well, you know, we go over here and we baptize somebody. Here's a baptistry right here. And I'm looking at it and it's got water. I hadn't felt of it, but I figure it might be even warm water. I don't know. But it wouldn't matter. As hot as it is today, it wouldn't matter if it is hot, cold or hot. It might be better if it was cold. But here's water. And so somebody says, well, that's just water. And somebody goes down that water. And you're saying if you go down that water and you come up out of that water, that you're different? Well, it all depends on who and why you're doing it. If I'm just going down that water because I'm trying to please my wife, then I'm going to tell you, you're going to go down that water and you're going to come up out of that water in the same condition you were in when you went in. If I'm doing it to please my mother, my father, my brother, my sister, whoever, if I'm trying to please somebody while doing that, I'm not doing it with the right idea. It is an operation of faith. It is belief in the operation of God through faith. And that's what I'm doing. I'm doing it, why? Because God has told me this is what I must do. And you know, when we think about that, we see this. Everything we do in serving God, if we're going to do it to the right reason, the right motive, if we're going to achieve what we're going to receive out of that, we have to have faith. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. I'm sure that you could probably all quote that. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6. The Hebrew writer says, but without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Now, I want to say that the Hebrew writer isn't necessarily mentioning baptism here, but he says, whosoever cometh to God must believe. I'm coming to God, and I'm coming to God, and I'm obeying the gospel, and I'm becoming Christian. And I'm being baptized because I believe God. I believe God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. I'm trying to seek after the Lord, and I'm believing that that's what God wants me to do. Why? Well, because 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21 tells me that for one reason. Another reason why I might do that is because I can look at passages like Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, where on the day of Pentecost, Peter and the apostles are there. Peter has preached the word of God. He's
told them about the fact that you've taken Jesus Christ, you've crucified him, you've hung him on a tree. He was the Messiah. He came and you crucified him. You killed him. You took him by wicked hands and had him crucified. They're convicted of the fact that indeed that's exactly what they have done. And so they cried out in verse 37. They said, men and brethren, what shall we do? In verse 38 of Acts chapter 2, Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. I want to tell you, that was what God was telling them to do. Peter was telling them through the inspiration of God, what God wants you to do is to what? Repent. And what? And be baptized. And what are you going to get for that? Forgiveness of sins. So when I'm going into the water and I'm being baptized, I'm not being baptized in order to have an outward sign of an inward grace. I'm not going in there to please somebody. I'm going in there because God has told me if I'm going to receive the remission of my sins, that's what I've got to do. And so that's what we see about this faith that is involved in baptism. But also there are some characteristics of the baptism. And when I think about these characteristics, I think about what the Bible says about baptism. First of all, we might just notice something here in Colossians chapter 2 while we're here. And that is, the first thing that's mentioned here is that it says that we are buried with him in baptism. And I want to notice that that means that there is something that we're going to have to go down into. If you're buried, that means you're going to be covered. It's not enough that we think about baptism, and sometimes in the religious world, people say, well, I think we ought to be baptized. And now you'll begin to have a discussion with somebody, and I remember having a discussion like this several years ago with a young lady. And she said she had been baptized, and I asked her some questions about that. And then she was telling me how she had water poured on her. And I said, well, that's not the Bible. Doesn't teach baptism by pouring. You don't bury somebody by going out and pouring dirt on them. You don't go out there and bury somebody by sprinkling dirt on them. And so that's not what is being described. He says you were buried with him in baptism. If you go over to Romans chapter 6, you see the same type of terminology. When we think about the characteristics of this baptism, that it is something that you go down into. It is a burial. Romans chapter 6, if you're there, look with me in verse 3 when it says, know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Notice verse 4. That we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. We are buried with him by baptism, and we rise up. We come out of that burial to walk in new life. Why? Because our old life is over. Those sins that we have committed, they are remembered against us no more. We have the remission of our sins. And he goes on down in verse 6. He says, knowing what? That our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and that we should henceforth, we should not serve sin. We're living a whole different life now. That's what baptism is. It's a characteristic. It's a burial. It's a putting to death of the old man, bringing to life a new man. And then we say, well, what is this? Well, I think we would have to stop here just maybe a moment and just make this point that we're not talking about burial and just anything. We're not talking about you can go out here and bury somebody in sand, or we can bury somebody in dirt, or you can bury them in whatever else you might. But it's a burial in water. If you will turn over with me to Acts chapter 8, and let's notice this text. We're here, the Ethiopian eunuch is riding along in a chariot, and Philip is told to go on this road that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza, and he goes to that place, and he says, see that chariot? Go and join yourself to the chariot. He goes, and he hears the one who is an Ethiopian treasurer. He's the treasurer of Candace, the queen, and he's reading from Isaiah chapter 53. And as he's reading there, Philip goes, and he's asking him, he says, do you understand what you're reading? Now, I don't know why he asked him that, I guess. Maybe it was the way in which he was reading. Maybe it was the slowness with which he was reading. Maybe it was the way he was pausing. Maybe it was a look on his face. I don't know. But for some reason, he thought maybe he is struggling with this passage. Maybe he keeps rereading it over and over and over because he's trying to make sense of this. I don't know. But for whatever reason, Philip says, do you understand what you're reading? He says, how can I? Some
It says Philip joined him in that chariot. And he began at the same scripture, and he preached unto them Jesus. And then it says, then as they came along that way, and they came to a certain water, verse 36 says, and the eunuch said, see, or as some versions would say, look, water. Now, why would he say, look, water? Because he needs water. He's been talking about being baptized. When Jesus was baptized in Matthew chapter 3, where did he go? He didn't go out in some sand pit. No, he went down to the River Jordan and was baptized of John in the river, in the water. And so when he's talking about Jesus and he's talking about his life and he's talking about the things he did, he's talking about things God has done through Jesus Christ and what God now expects of us, and that is to be obedient, to repent, to be baptized, to receive the forgiveness of our sins. He comes upon water and he says, see, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? Yeah, he's acting on faith. He believes what he's been taught from God's word. He believes what Philip has told him about Isaiah chapter 53. He believes what he knows. And perhaps maybe some knowledge he even had of Jesus Christ himself. What he maybe had heard about Jesus Christ. I don't know. But he believes what he's been taught. And he sees it and he's ready to obey. He's acting on faith. He understands that he needs water. And he understands that he needs to be buried. And what he does bury. We might just notice the text further. To go back to that idea of burial. It says that when they came to the water, they stopped the chariot. And he said, you know, if you believe all your heart, you may. And he said, I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. He's making that confession. He commanded the chariot to stand still. Verse 38 says, and they went down both into the water. And the eunuch baptized him. And when they were coming up out of the water, the Spirit called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, but he went on his way rejoicing. And I just say that since they went down, he was buried in water in baptism. And so that's what the Bible teaching is on baptism. The matter of fact, we might even make this point, and I will make this point. I think we can see it described just by as we read our English versions. I don't think I would have any problem tonight in anything that we have looked at, anything that we have read from Acts chapter 8, or anything that's been described in Colossians chapter 2 or Romans chapter 6, being able to say that when you're going to water, what kind of baptism is a burial? It's an immersion. I don't think we're going to have any problems with that. But the word is transliterated. It's not really even translated. The word baptism is not translated. It was transliterated. It was a Greek word, and they gave it English endings, and they brought it over so they didn't have to translate. Because if they had translated that word like they should have, every other word they translated, they would have translated that word immersion. They would have immersed in the verb sense. And so they couldn't do that. Why? Because when they're translating the scriptures, why? Well, King James, he doesn't believe in immersion for baptism. They're going to have a problem. So they just say, okay, baptize. And they don't translate it. And they keep that confusion. But in the scriptures, there's no doubt that baptism is a burial in water. And we see that it's an act of faith. But also as we think about this, I think we need to understand too the connection that it is with salvation. Going back to our text, and that's what we were saying in Peter, 1 Peter chapter 3, it says, whereunto this is a like figure, that even baptism doth also now save us. Now it's one thing to say, okay, that's what it says. But then I want us to notice what he's saying. He said it's a like figure than Noah. Noah's a like figure of this same thing. Well, exactly. How is this a like figure? How is Noah saved? Well, as a matter of fact, over in 2 Peter chapter 2 in verse 4, it talks about Noah again. It talks about in verse 4, it says, God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them to chains of darkness to be reserved into judgment. And he spared not the old world, but saved Noah. You know, the old world, what is that? That's the world before the flood. But he saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. He saved Noah. How did he save him?
Well, that goes back to where we were a while ago. He saved them exactly as Hebrews chapter 11 mentions. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7, this is what it said. It says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is by faith. How was Noah saved? He was saved by his faith. Yes, he had faith. He had faith that what God said he needed to do, he needed to do. And he did exactly what God said for him to do. Noah could have sat there and he could have quibbled. He could have said, well, you know, maybe I've never seen it rain before in my life, perhaps. I don't believe he's going to destroy. You think about how much water. Can you imagine that? How much water it would take to cover the whole world? I just recently went by Niagara Falls. And I look at that water. And how much water is there? I think about it. All that water. Look at all the dry ground. You think about how much water it would take to cover all the mountains, to cover everything. And Noah could have just said, I it don't make sense. God says he's going to do this, but I don't see how it's going to, I can't make sense out of this. He could have said, well, he said go build an ark out of gopher wood, but I don't think I really need to go build an ark out of gopher wood. I think I could just go out here and make me a little flotilla. Get a little bit. I think I'll be okay. He wouldn't have obeyed the commands of God. God wanted to save him. He wanted to save all those animals. He wanted to save the creation. He wanted to have the world after the flood. And so he told him, go and prepare an ark. It says Noah went and he prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 22 said, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. He did exactly what God said. So what I want to notice, God saved Noah. How did he save him? He saved him by faith. He did what God told him to do, and he obeyed. And I want to tell you, that's how baptism saves us. When we know what God has told us to do, and we do it. Because I don't have to sit there and think, well, how does it possibly make any sense? Could God not know the heart of each individual and not really know whether a person's heart is really right with God? Can God not know that? And there are a lot of people who will make those kind of statements. God knows I'm sincere. God knows I love him. Will you do what he says? Noah did. And I want to tell you, that's the same way in which we're going to be saved. God saves people through their obedience. Yeah, there's love, there's mercy. It's Titus chapter 3 and verse 5 talks about it. And there's that washing of regeneration that makes us alive. Yes, we are righteous and we are counted as righteous, as Abraham's counted righteous, is by being obedient to God. As the water separated Noah from the old world to the new world, baptism separates us from the old man to the new man. And we need to see that. Yeah. In connection with baptism, God saved Noah, and he'll save us the same way. But also, baptism connects us to Christ. I don't think we need to forget that. And that is why are we being baptized? What is our real emphasis for being baptized? Well, going back to Acts chapter 8, why do you think that Ethiopian eunuch wanted to be baptized when he saw water? Do you remember what we looked at when we were there? I think it's verse 35, if you were looking at the text. It says that he began at the same scripture and he preached unto him Jesus. He did not preach unto him Abraham. He didn't preach unto him, Elijah. He didn't preach unto him Moses. He preached unto him Jesus. Because you see, that is where salvation is. Jesus is the one who came and took away sin. And if we are going to be saved, it's going to be because we have a connection. We're going to have that connection to Christ. I'm turning my Bible back to Galatians chapter 3.
Galatians chapter 3. And I turn here because the text here, I think, makes it very clear about the things that the Galatian Christians had done in their obedience to Christ. And he makes a statement here about the connection they have to Christ. And this is what he says. In verse 26, he says, "For we are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." Now, some people want to just stop right there. They want to say, okay, see, we're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Well, okay, that's not the end of it. Verse 27. "Because, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." You're going to have salvation. You're going to have to find a connection to Christ. That baptism is that burial. You remember in Romans chapter 6, we looked at it a few moments ago. He said we are buried in baptism with Christ. And we rise up to walk in newness of Christ. You know, this is the connection we have. We're going into that death, that burial, and we're raised again. Just as Christ was dead, buried, and rose again. And taking away our sin. Redemption from the bondage of sin that we were enslaved to before Christ died on the cross is what we're going to have if we don't come in contact with Jesus Christ. And what we see in Galatians chapter 3 is he's saying your connection to Jesus Christ is through your baptism. Romans chapter 6 tells us it's through our baptism that we earn that death, that burial, and that resurrection. We can't be saved without a connection to Christ. How are we going to have the connection to Christ? Yes, it's going to be faith. Faith's going to prompt us. But you know what? I can have all the faith in Jesus I want. I can have all the faith, but if I'm not willing to confess his name, I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to have salvation. I'm not going to connect myself to Christ. I might even believe and I might even confess Jesus. I might go and tell everybody that they need to believe on Jesus. But I can have all the faith in Jesus. I can tell all the people that I ever come in contact with about my faith in Jesus and how they need to have faith in Jesus and that he is the Christ and he came to take away sin. And I can tell them how much I love him. I can even tell them how much, because of my love for him, he has changed my life. But if I don't do it, he said to do, but I'm still going to be lost because I'm not going to have that connection to him. Jesus said, "He that believeth in me, shall never die. But the person who believes in him is going to do what he says." Jesus said another statement in Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. He said, "Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to say, "Well, I'm going to tell you all about this. I'm going to tell you about my love for him. I'm going to tell you how much he means to me, how much he's changed my life. But I'm not going to do what he said." See, Jesus said in Mark chapter 16, in verse 16, he said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believe not shall be dead." John chapter 3 and verse 5. Nicodemus came to him by night and says, "How is it that you can enter the kingdom?" He said, "You enter by the water and by the Spirit." You want to be in Christ? You want to be in the kingdom? You want to be a part of his body? You want to be a part of the church? Well, I can tell you do because you're here tonight. Because you see, the church are the saved. He is the Savior of the body. Ephesians chapter 5 tells us that. And the body, we learn from Ephesians chapter 1, is the church. Well, if I'm going to be in the church, and I'm going to be in the kingdom, and I'm going to be in Christ, then I'm going to have to do what he says. Our baptism connects us to Christ.
And then finally, what it is, it's a response of a good conscience. And this is interesting when Peter says this, and the way some people will look at this sometimes, because he says it's not putting away the filth of flesh, but an answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And people say, well, I've got a good conscience. It's an answer of a good conscience. It's not your good conscience. It's not my good conscience. The answer says it's a good conscience toward God. See, that's the connection. I can't sit there and say, well, I've got a good conscience. Somebody else has got a good conscience in me. I can have a good conscience. You can have a good conscience. We can say that. We can always. But is it a good conscience toward God? Is our conscience living with God? Is our conscience where God wants us to be? A lot of times people say, well, let the conscience be your guide. Is that a good rule? Well, somebody's going to answer. I know what you're going to say. It depends what your conscience is guiding you to do. I'm going to tell you, there are a lot of people who have a conscience, but the conscience isn't guided by this book. If their conscience is not guided by this book, their conscience cannot be their guide. He says, what this is a good conscience, an answer of a good conscience toward God. That's the key. That is the key. Do we have a good conscience toward God? Well, if we do, then we will believe in Jesus. Because if we believe not that Jesus is the Son of God, we will die in our sins. We will repent of our sins. We will do those things. We will confess Jesus Christ. We will be baptized for the remission of sins. We will not stop short if we have a good conscience toward God. But without a good conscience toward God, we're going to live in this life, and we're going to go through life, and we're going to sit there, and we're going to say, well, I know I've done this. I'm telling everybody every day about what Christ means to me. And I'll tell you, I know a lot of people that are like that. I know a lot of people that I believe love the Lord, but have stopped short of doing what he's asked us to do. To be in him. We need to be like Noah. And do all the things God has commanded us to do. It may be that tonight, it may be that where you need to do is you need to respond tonight. To be baptized. You may have all the other things in your life. But you're still separated because you're not one of his. If we can assist you tonight in doing that, we want to do that. If you'll come in faith, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus Christ, Son of God, we'll baptize you into Christ, you'll put on Christ. You'll have a good answer and conscience toward God. You can go from here to the building tonight, you can pillow your head, knowing that you're living your life in Christ. And you're living in a life, if it were to end, you have salvation in Christ. There's no salvation any other way. We can assist you now.